Welcome to the first episode of the Three Tenants Podcast, the show that gives an in-depth look at Army National Guard recruiting, retention, and attrition management with soldiers in the field and instructors at the schoolhouse, as well as updates from the Strength Maintenance Training Battalion. I'm Richard Friend.
And I'm Callie Allen.
And this is the Three Tenants Podcast.
Now it's time to welcome our first guest, one of the elite instructors at SMTB, Sergeant First Class Chambers. Welcome to the Three Tenants Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You have become a meme, a video star, one of the most respected members within the 79 Tango community. But before we get to your current role, I want to take us back to when you first enlisted into the Guard. Tell us about yourself, your Guard story, and experience.
I enlisted into the Georgia Army National Guard in January of 2008. I enlisted as an aviation operations specialist. I was about 17 years old. My mom and dad had to give me permission to join. A recruiter or a recruiting and retention NCO walked in and said, "Who here wants to make $20,000? And I was like,
"You said
me.
I would like that.
I would like that very much." After several years of serving, I deployed to Iraq 2010, 2011, came back, started working in the JAG office, and a mentor of mine at the time said, "Hey, you should think about changing MOSs." So I became a 42 Alpha.
Okay.
Human resources specialist. And about 2.5 years later, the colonel or the commander for the recruiting and retention battalion said, "Hey, you ever thought about being a recruiter?" And I was like, no, I haven't.
No.
never crossed my mind. And then I became a recruiting and retention NCO in 2017. And that's been history ever since. Never look back.
You know what I like about that story is that you've got people that come into your life and your career that kind of see things in you and as recruiters. And at SMTB, this is one of the things that I think was one of the tenets is that we see things in people that perhaps we don't see in ourselves. You found a recruiter that saw a person ready for the challenge. You found an NCO that said, "Hey, what about this MOS change so that you could promote?" And then another one that says, "You know what? I see a recruiter in that person." And so I think at SMTB, that's one of the great things that we can do is we can find those things in you that perhaps you may not see in yourself.
Absolutely.
So you said that you enlisted as a senior in high school. Did you ever think that you might have made the wrong choice or you should have waited?
No, I don't. At one point, believe it or not, I thought I was going to become an attorney. Okay, I was dead set on this.
I can see that.
Yeah.
With the whole arguing thing,
yeah.
I can see that.
Absolutely. The Guard offered me an opportunity to challenge myself within the military. So I don't think that I made the wrong choice.
Do you think the Guard prepared you better since you've been in the military than you would have if you had not ever joined the military at all? As far as discipline, self-discipline, initiating things on your own, things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The 17-year-old me was very, this is what I have to do because those around me decided this is what I needed to do. The Guard gave me confidence, discipline. Coming home from basic training, you couldn't tell me anything. The confidence that it instilled in me for me to make a decision was top notch.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what we put on the recruiting posters. The confidence made me top notch.
Yeah, top notch. That's what you do from
top notch.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now you're officially Title 10. You've been Title 10 for about a year and a half, right?
Yep.
What made you decide you wanted to go Title 10?
June 2021, I went to a senior leaders course. And we were doing this class on enlisted promotion board process. And the instructor, Master Sergeant Larson at the time, he was like, "Sergeant Chambers, you've done all of these great things." I was like, "Yeah, I was a 2IC, I was a team leader, I was a station commander." I'm like, I'm the one. Right? Georgia Army National Guard needs me. And he was like, "Cool, let's look at your ERB." And we pull it up, and all it said was RR NCO. And he was like, Title 10 is going to challenge you and push you to do way more. And I was like, yeah, I hear you, but in my state, like, I'm great. I'm like top 10 at the time. And he was like, but as a leader, like outside of recruiting and retention, you're doing all of these things. You're holding these positions, but they don't really exist. And I was like, man, he's right. So he started talking to us about the Title 10 program and the growth. And then we started looking at the Army Career Tracker and breaking down the CMF of the 79 Tango. And it was like, whoa, we could do so many other things, but I wanted that growth. I was eager for it, but I knew the only way to do that was to go Title 10. Because back in our states, we're kind of limited on what we can do. I can't be an LNO for the Georgia Army National Guard.
Right.
I can't be a transition NCO or reserve component career counselor for the Georgia Army National Guard. I can't be an instructor writer as a 79 Tango. It was all of these avenues that I was just unaware of. And it wasn't until I arrived at SLC that I started looking into career progression and things of that nature a little bit.
And honestly, if you talk about your career, the things that you've learned in Title 10, being here at SMTB, you're going to have tools in your toolbox that you may be the only person in the building that goes, oh, no, no, let me call this person and talk to them because we need this form or we can do this as long as we do it in this manner. And that really makes you a viable asset, not just as a recruiter, but as a leader at an NCO, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Being here, I've learned things about myself as a leader, as a soldier, but as a leader. We're engaging them in a learning environment, but we're also highlighting who they are as a person. And we're influencing them. And that is the art of being a leader in the Army as a whole.
A lot of times when the book is being written, they come to SMTB and go, okay, what are you seeing in the field? What are the recruiters we're dealing with now as opposed to recruiters 10 years ago? You can make influencing changes that affect the entire Army National Guard from right here in your position.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, we offer working groups and CTSSBs at SMTB.
Yeah.
Which pretty much is an opportunity for soldiers out in the field to come back to SMTB from courses they've graduated from and offer their expertise from the field to influence the classes we teach here.
Yeah.
So what is your experience working with the working groups and CTSSBs?
So actually, I worked on a CTSSB back in December of 2022 for SQI-4. And I came in with the mindset of they just want to pick our brains to beef up their content in the classroom. And it wasn't like that at all. They opened the floor to CTSSB to rewrite the course in a sense. What is the operational environment experience in, and how can we be better up to date as an organization to train tomorrow's RR NCOs? And that was it gave me a critical insight, because too many times we sit in the classroom or go to a military course and we're like, this is so out of date. Like, this course isn't what relevant. I need. Relevant.
It's not relevant. And it's kind of like some of the classes that I had seen. And, you know, when I first joined in 1992, we were wearing BDUs and you know, and the way that it transitioned. And sometimes you would see some courses that may be an entire, and the whole thing would be shot in a uniform that we don't even wear anymore. And you look at that and go, how relevant is the content that you're putting out to us? And that's when it comes down to not so much the dressing of the content, but of the NCO that's teaching it.
Yeah. When it comes to all the courses we teach, we actually have 13 courses taught at SMTB. That's a lot of CTSSBs and a lot of working groups that we have to provide to be able to get the information
from the field.
Yeah. From the field. And sometimes it's difficult for us to get people to come to the CTSSBs and working groups. And it could be the fact that they might need to be making mission if it's SQI-4. The quality of what we get from those people, if the state can allow them to come here, is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our CTSSBs and working groups, you get to come here for free.
Yeah. Yeah. SMTB covers it. Yeah.
I mean, what a great way to be able to still serve your state, but also serve the Strength Maintenance Training Battalion that has provided you all of these courses beforehand. Mm-hmm. You're really giving back to us and to the Army National Guard as a whole.
Absolutely.
That's where I've seen things that are a direct benefit. When you're sitting in your recruiting office and you're looking at a policy that came out, you're like, who came up with
this? Who wrote this?
Who did this? Someone who is not a 79 Tango yeah. said, here's what we need to do. This is the opportunity for soldiers and NCOs to go, this is directly what I'm seeing in the field. These are the problems that I'm having. You don't have to have the answer. Mm-hmm. But if we don't know what the problem is, we can't work on a solution. And that's where we really encourage people that are in the field. If you've got the thing that drives you up the wall and says, why are we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? Or this is the new thing mm-hmm. that I'm finding that happens. Because there might be something that Sergeant First Class Chambers is doing in the Georgia National Guard that is the new hotness.
Yeah.
That could be the great thing that if we put it out to all 50 states and four territories, that it might be, again, a force multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that really comes in and benefits coming in and being a part of these working groups.
Yeah.
The participation directly affects the quality of the product that we put on the other end of the pipeline out.
Yeah, absolutely. When I came through, there was a variety of people on that CTSSB, newly graduates of SQI-4, those that were actively recruiting and retention NCOs. We had master sergeants, we had a section chief in there, and we also had operations NCOs. And to see it from, now we're getting the view from every foxhole, just about every foxhole within our realm of the recruiting and retention battalions.
When we've talked before,
mm-hmm.
you've told me you're not a school presentation giver.
I am not. I am not. I am not. I would have much rather grabbed people sitting at a bus stop and talking to them about the Guard for about 15 minutes until the bus arrived, right? I was one of those. I was a go-getter.
So let me ask you this, though. But you had other people on your team when you were 2IC and all that were like rock stars. They walk Absolutely. In and go, hit it, here you yep. go. And so you knew when to go, all right, this one's you.
Yep.
Because the success came as a team,
yeah.
not as an individual.
Mm-mm. I had a Sergeant First Class Volsey out of Georgia. She was a strong high school presenter. A guaranteed, she'd get up there, she'd give her presentation for about 30 minutes. At the end of it, she would get at least 10 yeses. That turned into direct appointments, that turned into a sessions. And so her and I would battle buddy together a lot, especially in my first year, because I understood that was a weakness of mine. And she had her weaknesses when it came to lunchroom setups, because now it's not a controlled environment, right? Now it's the students just parlaying about in the lunchroom, but that was where I thrived. Because I could go and sit down with 5 to 10 of them in one lunchroom period and get the yeses and get the guaranteed appointment.
That's yep. why a team is so diverse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's almost a metaphor for the Army in general,
yeah.
is that here we can not only build on the strengths that you have, but we can probably take the edge off of some of those weaknesses that mm-hmm. you have too. There are schools that you come here and when you leave, you go, oh, I'm okay, you're right. I get it now. Yeah. I feel a little bit better about it.
So when it comes to your classroom setting,
mm-hmm.
now that you're an instructor,
mm-hmm.
you're able to see the students from what might seem as a disruption in class,
yeah,
such as a talkative person, the class clown.
Yeah.
But you're able to build upon those strengths because you know they are going to make someone laugh first and foremost.
Yep.
But they are going to be that person you want out talking to people, and they're mm-hmm. not going to be scared of going to different locations to be able to gain leads.
Those are the type of people that go out into these high schools and will grab the attention of the entire school just from a few words and actions. And I've been in the classroom with a few that I'm like, okay, we got one. It's the class clown of the cycle, right? But they turn out to be receptive, and they take the critique and build upon it, because maybe I don't have to be as goofy to be successful in this business.
And I've seen your students specifically in your class that are trying so hard to reflect on you, what you have taught them. And mm-hmm. I've seen you, I think now, one of the things I've noticed about you watching you teach is you're not talking to a group of 30 people. You're speaking to 30 individuals, mm-hmm. and you have 30 individual relationships, because I've noticed that, like, our classrooms would be right across the hall from each mm-hmm. other, and we come out on a break and you're like, oh, I've got this Sergeant Smith, and she's from Arizona, and I've got this Sergeant Jones, and he's from Kentucky, mm-hmm. and he's having problems with this, and his wife's about to have the baby, mm-hmm. and all that. And I was like, you've literally been in your class 5 days, and you know something about everyone, and that shows as to why you were so successful in recruiting, because it all comes back to the relationship. But now that you've got all of these other facets that you've trained with, mm-hmm. with SMTB, I really think that you're going to be the kind of NCO that we're looking for the future of National Guard recruiting and retention.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We've mentioned before that you're kind of famous.
Yes, apparently you have your own meme.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's several.
She'll send stickers to you. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's top notch.
Obviously, you've had an impact on all of these students. Because a lot of them that we see on our social media channels commenting, sharing, they're like, she's the best instructor I've ever had. Now, I'm not saying you're the only one that they've said that about. Okay. But you're one of the top ones, okay?
Yeah. You're right up there.
Yeah.
So I know you give your students a lot of advice when you're in the classroom. Mm-hmm. For those that may have not been in your classroom, but they could be listening to this right now, what is a piece of advice you would want to give them?
Honestly, as a leader, whether you're in the classroom, whether you're out on the streets actively recruiting, never stop growing. Every day, challenge yourself to learn something new.
Stay out of the comfort zone.
Stay out of the comfort zone, man. It's a dangerous place. You get contempt, and it's dangerous. The day you stop growing, what value do you hold? I don't care how small the growth is, just constantly keep growing. That's it.
So when it comes to growth for you, mm-hmm. what does that look like? Are you reading self-help books? Are you just investing in yourself and going to the gym? Like, is it a personal, like looking at your personal life? Are you investing in that?
Yeah.
What does that growth look like?
So I have been actively working out more because that 45 minutes in the gym talking to myself is how I stay so motivated throughout the day, right? And I've also went back to school. I'm about 4 classes away from earning my bachelor's degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have found different programs through the COOL program, like Lean Six Sigma, the SHRM CP course, Certified Professional course, these small things to just continue to grow as a person. 16 years in, so I'm real close to the 20-year mark, but I need to start taking advantage of some of the reasons as to why I joined the Guard to begin with.
Because 17-year-old Octavia didn't see herself 16 years later being in the Guard, and the Army has so many tools and so many benefits and opportunities for an education, for training. When I left the Army and I went back into, you know, my career field, I looked at those things and thought, this is in front of me now because of the opportunities that the military provided me.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. And that's what I like now, is I think that you're going to be, I think the military career is going to be a highlight of your life, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of interested to keep up with you and see what happens after the military, because you're not one that's just going to shrink away like a fern and just sit in the corner and we water you every once in a while. Like, you're going to go do something with your life. And I'm going to be able to point and go, I interviewed her on our first podcast.
Yeah.
She won't remember me now. She'll be like the little people.
No, never.
Mm-mm. I'm going to be disappointed if you forget about me.
So you've got 16 years of experience in the military on top of your personal life and your time before the military. What is something that's benefited you that maybe a student could also benefit from when they come here to SMTB that you maybe they wouldn't have to jump through some of the same hurdles you did and they could learn from your experience?
Don't be afraid to read. R-E-A-D. Read. Because a lot of times, especially in our CMF and in life in general, we go off of other people's experience when we lean on them to ask for help. And we don't take the time to read it for ourselves. And that is one of the, even being a student, if I came to you today and I said, hey, Miss Kelly, I need help on understanding this piece of social media. I'm coming to you for an answer. I'm not coming to you because I read for myself that the policy has changed, that these things are now affected. And I think that that has been what has helped me throughout my career, is having to take the time to read it for myself.
Well, Sergeant Chambers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening to the first ever episode of the Three Tenets podcast. Before we go, make sure to follow us on social media if you haven't already, and be on the lookout for our Three Tenets newsletter. Then stay tuned for next month's episode, where we get to meet up with another special guest.